Brethren, we can go ahead and begin a couple minutes early here. And Brother Tim Krupa would like us to open with hymn number 65A, which I think is a good number for whichever hymn book. I think most of us have the red ones. Hymn 65A, and Brother David Rice will open with the word of prayer for us.
Loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful to Thee for the opportunity of this gathering. We ask now Thy blessing specially upon this next hour, upon Brother Tim Krupa as he ministers to us, and upon our minds and hearts, that we might be prepared to receive the message and all of its benefit to us. We thank Thee for the wonderful hope that we have received of the high calling. We thank Thee that the kingdom is so near at hand. We ask Thy blessing upon all Thy brethren who are striving to honor and please Thee. We wait before Thee now this hour with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brethren, as you can see from the PowerPoint slide, Brother Tim's discourse is entitled slightly differently, Paul's First Letter to Timothy. Brother Tim.
Good afternoon. I've been looking forward to the convention, not particularly this hour specifically, but looking forward to being with you. I've always enjoyed the conventions here, and I knew I would be blessed coming here. I was going to start by asking you, how many letters did Paul write? But that's kind of a trick question, because I would have to say, first of all, we don't know. We have some letters that have been passed down to us. So the question is, how many letters have been passed down to us from Paul? That might be a more fair question. You know, I think it's an absolute miracle that we have what we have. That we have the letters. That we have what Jesus taught. We have this information, these documents of his life. We have the Apostle Paul's letters to different people and different groups. That's a miracle. What a blessing. There are 14 letters in the New Testament that Paul wrote. Most of them were to either ecclesias or regions. Galatia was a region. I think the one to Ephesus was a regional letter. It's not our subject today, but I think actually the writings to Corinthians, I think there's actually four letters to the Corinthians. There's fragment of one in there, and there's another one referenced. There's a letter mentioned at the end of Colossae, the letter to the Colossians, that says there's a letter to the Laodiceans. So you kind of added them up. There's maybe seven letters. But there are four that are just a trifle different than the others in the sense that they were written to persons. Only four. Two went to Timothy, one to Titus, and one to Philemon. So today, we're going to focus on Paul's first letter to Timothy. Now, where did they meet? Well, it was in Galatia. And I don't know if I can, what I can do. Let's see. Is this a pointer, Bob? Is Bob still here? Did he leave? Okay, can you see that little red dot?
Yeah.
All right. So, Timothy was from Lystra, up here. And this red line is Paul's second missionary journey. And on the second journey, headquarters, home was Antioch, and they went by land. That's different from the first journey, which they took the green line on sea, by sea. And they came through Derbe, Lystra, and it was in Lystra, in the 16th chapter of Acts, that we hear the story of him picking up Timothy as a young man. Very interesting young man. His mother was Jewish. His father was Greek. So he was a mixed. He was a mixed heritage. I would suspect he was multilingual. He was young. He was Turkish because he was born in Turkey. So he's a Turkish Jew, Greek combination. What an asset for Paul as he goes through on his journeys. I have a speculation. You know, I usually come down pretty hard on people who speculate. So I got a speculation just to even up the score. As these two went through their lives, Paul and Timothy, they created a bond like few others. There was a closeness between Paul and Timothy that I don't think can be matched. And here's my speculation. On Paul's first journey, as he came up through this green line, do you remember this, what happened in Lystra? This was the place where Paul and Barnabas, first trip is Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, they saw a crippled man, they healed the man, and the crowd went wild, and they said, oh, these are gods, this is Zeus and Mercury, and they started to slaughter animals, worshiping that the gods had visited their city. And you remember Paul's reaction. He says, stop, stop, stop. We are men just like you are. And he had a huge crowd gathering. There was all kinds of excitement. And this really touched the Jews' jealous nerve. And from all over the area, the Jews congregated and attacked Paul. They stoned him, and they left him for dead. They thought he was dead, or else they would have kept stoning him. This is in Lystra. Paul gets up, and he's alive. He leaves Lystra, goes on, etc. But you can just imagine that this was the story of Lystra. They told everybody what happened there, that the great apostle Paul was stoned in their city, and a miracle of God, he got up and he continued his journey, and etc., etc., etc. They never got tired of telling that story. Well, who do you think was there? I think Timothy was there. Maybe he was only 14 years old or 15 years old. If he didn't see those things happen, if he didn't see the man healed, if he didn't see the crowd reacting and the screaming and yelling, I mean, Paul wasn't walking by himself. All the brethren must have been with Paul and Barnabas. They would be following them around. If he didn't see that, if he didn't see the Jewish crowd attack him and stone him, if he didn't see it, he sure heard it. Timothy, this happened in your city. This happened down the block. Timothy, this happened here. His mother, his grandmother would have shown him where all of these things happened. It's a speculation, but I think this started Timothy's adulation for Paul. He worshipped him. So, fast forward, 20, 25, 30 years later, Paul has done many great things. He has left Timothy in Ephesus for years to deal with a rather wild, unruly Gentile population. So he's writing to Timothy. Paul senses a change in the church arrangement. So what is Paul going to write about to this young man, still young in Paul's sight, relatively, whom he loves so much? Well, this is the first time I've given this particular talk. So you are, in, to some degree, an experimental group. So at this point, I want to take a poll. You know what a poll is? Of course you know what a poll is. This country has been besieged by polls for the last year. Okay, I got a poll. I want to, and this is for my benefit. This is not to do anything with you. I'm not going to berate you. You're no, you know, like a no dinner if you don't get this right. Nothing like that. I just kind of want to see this for my own benefit. I put up five possible topics here that Paul is going to say are the most important ones in his letter. Okay? And I'm going to ask you to vote. I'm going to ask you to look at this list. I've got possible topic that Paul says to Timothy, despite everything else, number one is to develop love. Okay? Or you're going to vote for number two, which is, Timothy, the most important thing I want you to do is to organize the elders and the deacons because the church is changing. I'm going to be leaving the scene. We have to have some organization. Or it could be number three, that he slips in despite all these other things. He says, Timothy, you number one is to witness. Or it could be number four, he says to Timothy, despite all these other things are important, but don't forget to build faith. Or it could be number 5, where he says, Timothy, amongst all these things, don't forget to pray. Okay? So I'm actually going to ask you to vote on these 5. Pick one. You know, and this is no big deal. This is just casual. You just kind of raise your hand a little bit. I'm going to count the votes. Are there deacons here who can count the votes? I'll write down the votes here. Okay. So let's pretend we're at the end of the meeting and we've already studied Timothy and I've presented it all and I've reviewed everything. I reminded you of everything. And how many think that Paul's number one point is going to be to develop love? Okay, I got about 15. Okay. Number 2, organize the elders and deacons. Five. Witness. Don't forget to witness. Another 5. 4, build faith. Timothy, build faith. 5 again. Oh, this is interesting. I can remember. Okay, and pray. I got 1. Okay. All right. Now, I'll explain the reason. I'll tell you why I did this. I did it because I was so surprised with the answer. Personally, I was surprised. And I got the answer a couple weeks ago as I was developing this. So I've had time to think about it. And when you're surprised about something, it helps you remember. So if you're going to be surprised, and I think there's a chance that you might be surprised on your choice, maybe that'll help you remember what Paul wanted Timothy to remember. That's why I'm doing this. Okay, now, as you look through, and the translation I used is by Eugene Patterson, The Message. It's my current colloquial favorite. It's the one that's kind of the common English, and he's really been touching my heart and getting to the point and stuff like that. So here's one of the statements, according to Brother Patterson, that Paul makes. Paul says this, okay, in the letter to Timothy. He says, the first thing I want you to do. Now, I think that's an indication of Paul's prioritizing. Right? He says, the first thing I want you to do. So if we find out what the answer is after that, it's going to be one of our answers. But he also says, a couple verses later, what I want mostly. All right? So this is another indicator. We're looking within the letter, we're looking for indicators of Paul's priorities. And there's a third one. The whole point. All right? So now we're going to back up, and we're going to find out those 3 things, and we're going to find out the answer. Here's our 3 criteria. The first thing I want you to do, what I want mostly, and the whole point is, second chapter, verse 1. Paul says, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Well, how's that work with the second thing? What I want mostly is for men to pray. The whole point of what we are urging is simply love. I probably could close right now. And I think you probably would have gotten my lesson. I was shocked that Paul said, first pray. Timothy, the first thing I want you to do is pray. And then Paul says, Timothy, what I want mostly for men to do is to pray. And he says, Timothy, the point of this whole thing is simply love. I had no idea this is where the letter, this was what I was going to get out of the letter from these phrases. You know, there are other points to the letter. You know, without question, not to minimize it, Paul says early on, I'm passing this work on to you. This is a profound statement. Paul had pretty much run the show. Paul knew that he was the messenger to the Gentiles. I find it curious that if Paul passes this on to Timothy, you'd think somebody would have picked up throughout history the importance of Paul and Timothy. You know, I looked on the list of popes. Paul's not a pope. Timothy's not a pope. That's kind of surprising. How about the seven messengers that you hear presented? I don't ever hear Paul mentioned as a messenger. I don't hear Timothy. And yet, Paul says, I'm passing the whole work over to you. I find that curious. He spends a lot of time. Chapter 3 is all about the qualifications of elders. Chapter 5 is about how to deal with people. Chapter 6 talks about false prophets. This is all about false teachers. How the household of God should operate. This letter does contain that. But I don't see it as the first priority. Paul warns Timothy, he says, expect some to give up on the faith. Don't be surprised when that happens. That's a reality. We have seen that. He emphasizes rather strongly the lust for money. He says there's nothing that can mess things up as much as the lust for money. That reminds me of another thing I saw on the internet last week. Guess which state has the most billionaires in the United States? You guessed it, California. I don't know how many billionaires there are in this room at the moment. But the message to the Laodiceans, you know, is about wealth. And California has a particular temptation and trial in this regard. This is one of the wealthiest areas in the world. And you're living in the middle of it. That's not a great influence. You get used to things that you shouldn't be getting used to. I thought this was kind of sweet. Paul saying to Timothy, the way you say it is as important as what you say. Isn't that the truth? He's talking to Timothy in the fifth chapter, I believe, how to deal with older brethren, how to deal with the younger brethren, how to talk to them, how to deal with the sisters, etc. The way you say it is as important or maybe more important than what you say. And The next one is maybe my favorite. Teach with your life, Timothy. Not words. With your life. Live it. Word, demeanor, love, faith, integrity. In the first chapter, verse 4, he says, warn people not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations. There's my favorite word again. Promote speculations. I've been encouraging people. You heard about my speculation meter, didn't you? I think I mentioned it. Anyway, I have invented a speculation meter. And it goes right up here near the chart and next to the podium. And it's a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. If the brother is only talking from the scriptures, the green light is on. If he throws in a new idea once in a while, the yellow light comes on. And if he's absolutely making up stuff, and we hear this, the red light goes on. We need speculation meters in our studies and in all discourses. We're not to be speculators. This is pretty cute. Paul says this in the third chapter in the 16th verse. The Christian life is a great mystery, far exceeding our understanding. But some things are clear enough. That's pretty cute. Speculations are pretty clear. Hypocrisy is pretty clear. There are things that we can spot that are not good. Yes, some things are clear enough. But the priority that I get out of this, and this was the surprise to me, I would have voted probably for the organizational part, because that's what I remember every election we read from the third chapter of Timothy. Elders, deacons, women. Timothy, this letter to Timothy is the one that has the bombshell that says women should be silent in the church. Now, that's an interesting statement. And I'm not going to discuss it, being a very practical and diplomatic person. But my only question is, how do you decide what things you believe that the apostle says and what things you choose not to believe? I don't care which items you believe and don't believe. I want to know, how do you decide which one to believe? How do you decide that wearing a head covering is something that carries down for the 2,000 years? How do you decide that women are to be silent in the church? Oh no, we can leave that one out because that was a tradition, and that was something that was 2,000 years ago. How do you decide that one thing 2,000 years old is okay and another thing that's 2,000 years old is not okay? I'm not taking a position on either one, either way. But I'm asking you, how do you decide? Be consistent. Don't change your rules just because you like it. So I kind of feel the way Paul presented this, where he says, first thing, what I want mostly for men to do is pray. That's huge. I know that, I don't know if stunned is the right word, but I was moved very deeply when I came to this conclusion. I know that my prayer life is far from adequate. And since I came to this realization of Paul's letter to Timothy, I have amped it up. It wasn't that hard. And the point that this entire process is simply love is precious thought. So, the other things are important. The organization of the church is important. The being diplomatic is important. The women are important. All these things are there. They're part of our Christian lives, but these are the priorities. I like the way that Paul closes the letter in the sixth chapter. One translation says, Timothy, run for your life. Also in this sixth chapter, we have the phrase, fight the good fight. Another one is, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Now, when Paul tells Timothy these things, fight the good fight, run for your life, pursue righteousness, what appellation does he use for Timothy? What term does he use? He does not use, my dear son. He amps it up a little bit. And in his closing, he says, O man of God, I pray that that could be said of you. That the Apostle Paul could look at you and your life, skip the gender thing, man, woman, and that he could say, O woman of God. Or that he could say, O man of God. It's also my prayer for myself. That's what I hope for all of us. That's what I got out of Paul's first letter to Timothy. His closing words were, grace be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for that lesson on First Timothy. Brother Tim's selection for a closing hymn is 14. So, by the way, I checked the online broadcast that Brother Rob and Sister Tricia are doing, and there are 32 just a few minutes ago online. So, in case you were wondering. So, brethren, we will reconvene. Well, dinner's at 5 o'clock, so that's in a half hour, so I guess we have some fellowship time. And then we'll reconvene here for a brief song service at 6:30, followed by the final service of the day, and that's a discourse by Brother Rush Shalhoub. So let's sing Brother Tim's selection of hymn 14, and then Brother Tim will close with a word of prayer and ask a blessing also upon our dinner. Thank you.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you have done for us. We thank you for your plans and purposes and your intentions. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for his life. And we thank you so much for the record of his life and his teachings that you have left for us, and the subsequent letters and scriptures that have been passed to us. We pray for more of your Holy Spirit, that we could absorb them, understand them, and put them into daily action. We ask a blessing upon the meal that we are about to partake of. Bless the hands that have provided and prepared it. May it strengthen us to serve you better. We thank you for the opportunity of gathering together so peacefully. We pray for your kingdom to soon come. And we pray fervently in Jesus' name. Amen.